Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today is an esteemed UVA alumnus, and that's Tyson Kwiatkowski, who is a 2017 graduate of the McIntyre School of Commerce. Ty, thanks for joining the show. How are things going?
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Things are going pretty well. Good to be back here for a week in beautiful Charlottesville.
Yeah, I would welcome you back to Charlottesville, but you haven't really left, have you? When you are home, this is home?
Yeah, when I'm not on the road playing tennis, this is my home base. Live downtown now, so just far enough away from the corner and undergrads where I feel like have some space. But yeah, it's awesome to always still be around the community.
And you still have a connection in a UVA tennis connection sharing the apartment with you, right?
Yeah, my roommate was my doubles partner in college. He just started the Darden School, Max Dyslinger. So it's good to, you know, live with one of my closest friends.
So first of all, congratulations are in order. You've moved up to number 188 in the world singles rankings. That's the third highest ranking ever for a player from UVA. It's really been a steady climb for you, hadn't it? I think you were somewhere in the 500s when you left college in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, my whole career has been pretty small, but consistent steps forward. I haven't. I'm not one of those guys who makes big jumps really fast. But yeah, I mean, it's funny to be the third highest ranked ever, but the top two were both, you know, in the top 75 in the world. So I got a bit of a ways to go before I reach what Brian and Samdev did, but it's cool accolade.
So this is a very broad question, obviously, but how is life on the pro tour, life as a professional tennis player?
Yeah, I mean, if you follow the tennis world at all, you hear a lot about how the Challenger tour, basically the second rung of tennis, I call it like AAA of tennis. It can be tough, but at the end of the day, I'm having a great time. I enjoy it a lot. I love tennis. To be able to travel and do what you love and compete, you know, some of those emotions that I feel when I'm playing out there, I don't know if I'd feel doing anything else, and that's what I really love about it.
What is generally the cutoff from where you would move from AAA, if you're using that analogy, to the majors? Would it be a top 100 ranking in singles, top 75?
I would say probably about 125.
Uh-huh.
Once you're consistently making main draws of Grand Slams, you're doing pretty well. And the cutoff for that is usually like, you know, 105 to 110. Mm-hmm. But, 125, you're getting to play consistently on the ATP level. And you're making significantly more money than you are on the Challenger tour. But I feel like I'm close to that next step. I just gotta, you know, keep improving and keep my head down and keep working.
What is a typical week like when you're competing? You know, for example, in April you played at the Tallahassee Challenger in Florida. When do you get on site? How many days do you practice ahead of the start of competition? Obviously, how long you stay there depends on how well you do, but what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, usually on tour you play about 25 weeks a year, and every week is a new tournament. All tournaments start on Monday, so we usually show up on a Friday or Saturday, depending on how far away the tournament is. If it's in the U.S., probably show up on a Saturday. If we're flying to Europe from here or Asia or Australia, we'll show up on maybe a Friday evening. To give ourselves the weekend to prepare before the tournament starts on Monday. You usually get a day off between matches at the beginning of the tournament, so you might play Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday kind of thing, but then towards the latter ends of the tournament, it gets to every day, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and usually the finals of every week is on a Sunday.
I did a story recently on Brittany Altomare, who a former UVA golfer who's on the LPGA Tour now and doing real well. And she said she, for the most part, handles her travel arrangements herself and does a lot of that stuff herself. What about you? Do you have to take care of that Do you have an agent who does that, a manager?
I don't have an agent right now, but a lot of the guys on tour and a lot of guys at my level have agents. So I take care of most of the travel stuff myself. It's semi-time consuming, but at the same time, it's something I don't mind. I don't mind like looking for the best flight deal or you know, flying a certain airline, you know, getting miles and things like that. It's, you know, something that's semi-interesting, and booking for myself and my coach usually when we go. So, you know, always looking for the best deal. And a lot of times when we go, we have to book last minute because we don't know when we're flying home. We don't know when we're flying out there. So that's one of the trickier parts of it.
What about your equipment on the road? Are you in charge of all that yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sponsored by Wilson Rackets. Mm-hmm. So they supply me with all my equipment. But yeah, we travel. We definitely don't travel light. We check 2, sometimes 3 bags. We big suitcases, lots of equipment, rackets, strings, grips, all that kind of stuff. I mean, whatever you can imagine a tennis player uses, we're most likely traveling with it.
Is it tough to eat well on the road?
It's tougher outside of the United States. I mean, it's easy here because wherever we are, we could probably find a grocery store or a Whole Foods, or, mm-hmm. you know, if we really need a quick, decent meal, we can go to like Chipotle. It's tougher in Europe when, you know, sometimes dinner restaurants don't open until like 7:30 PM and, you know, you finish a match at 5:30 and you need to eat something right away. So that can be tougher. But it's not too tough. I wouldn't say that's the biggest challenges we face. I don't have any dietary restrictions.
Right.
I probably should have a better nutrition plan, but I don't shy away from eating, like, say, you know, pizza for dinner or something like that.
What is the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge is, you know, not getting too down on the road. I mean, being away from home 30 weeks a year can be challenging. 4 weeks in a row away from Charlottesville or my family. And if you take a couple losses in a row, it's tough to stay positive sometimes. That's definitely the biggest challenge, is to week in and week out be there mentally and fired up. Because, you know, the tour wears you down, you know, doing most of it on your own. But, that's what we're working on a lot lately is, you know, staying even keeled through the wins and the losses. And I think that's something that's gotten better, certainly, throughout my career, and definitely something I still constantly work on, because that's the toughest part for sure.
Tell us about your coach and what role does he play in addition to helping you with your actual game on the court?
My coach is Carlos Benatsky. He was the volunteer assistant my senior year at UVA. And then we left together to Orlando for a year to follow the former head coach, Brian Bolin. And then after a year down there, we decided to move back to Charlottesville because we missed this place a lot. And so we've been working together for almost 2.5 years now, I guess. It's going well. I mean, his job is to take care of you know, tournament scheduling, daily practice schedules, what we're working on, and you know, helping through those tough times on the road, you know, just doing some little things and, you know, keeping it so that I can just focus on going out there and hitting the ball as best I can.
How often do you run into former UVA teammates? There are several of you on tour.
Yeah, there's several of us, and that was makes it really cool, especially from the 2017 team. I mean, we had I think 4 or 5 of us now on the tour. I see them probably 70-80% of the time when I'm out there. It's awesome. I'm really close with Alex and Colin and Ryan Shane. We travel a lot together. We have meals together, and they're good guys. I mean, Alex lives here as well. Ryan lives here as well. So we've kind of made this our base. And we talk all the time, all of us. So it's been really good.
What about your doubles career? You play some partner with some of those guys, right?
Yeah, we I'm definitely way focused on my singles career. I play doubles for a little bit extra income, or maybe if I get to the tournament, I get a little more court time playing dubs. I try to only play with friends because it's more fun to play doubles that way. And there are a lot of guys who make doubles their career. And if I were to play with somebody who makes doubles their full-time career, I think I'd feel a lot of pressure. So I try not to do that. But yeah, I play a lot with Colin. We've played a few times, and played a few times with my friend Noah Rubin. He played for a year at Wake Forest. So
you have faced one of the current UVA players, Brandon Nakashima, a couple times recently. What's that been like?
Brandon is, amazing. He's so mentally tough for an 18-year-old, and it's both matches have been really tough. He beat me pretty handily the first time, and this past week was he was really outplaying me for most of the match, and I think towards the end maybe my experience helped me get through that one a little bit. But I mean, he's really good, really mentally tough, definitely mature beyond 18. Hits the ball well, doesn't have really many weaknesses, and we all hope that he returns in the spring to battle for us again, because he's an amazing player for sure.
What do you consider the highlight of your pro career so far?
Highlight of my pro career was probably this past year. I played at the City Open. I was able to qualify for that. That's in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Most of my family lives in Northern Virginia, so and obviously a ton of UVA alum in D.C. area. They all got to come to my match. I played a night match in the main draw against Nick Kyrgios at like 9 p.m., and it was a packed house. It was an awesome vibe. A ton of people cheering for me, ton of people cheering for Nick. Kind of felt like a college match, but it was awesome to have my friends and family there. And it was a tough match. I didn't win, but that was probably the highlight of my career. And that motivates me to want to get to that level every week.
When you were an undergraduate here, you played on teams that won 3 NCAA titles, and as a fourth year, you won the NCAA singles title. When you look back on your college career, what sticks out to you about those years and that experience?
The things I remember most about my 4 years is obviously the titles were amazing, but just the memories that I made here with my teammates and my coach Brian Bolin and Dustin Taylor, and we had some awesome times leading up to those championships. It wasn't easy. My first year we weren't very close as a team, and that was a big change between my first and second year with how we ran and how we basically ran the team culture, I guess. And it really paid off in the end, and obviously it helps to have a team as good as we were. But we definitely believed that the closest team would always win in May, and to win 3 consecutive titles and to send Brian out with winning 4 of 5, it's pretty amazing. And then to win the singles title at the end was just kind of like a cherry on top of my whole college experience and kind of my maturation process through the 4 years in Seville.
So. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You obviously grew as a player during your 4 years here, but I think you remarked several times that you grew as a person too, didn't you? On and off the court.
Yeah, I definitely was a very different person to when I came to UVA as a freshman in the fall of 2013. It was just a testament to Brian sticking it out with me and sitting me down, because there were many times where he could have kicked me off the team or really disciplined me, but he really cared, and it was obviously important for my tennis, but important for me as a person too. And we have some unbelievable coaches at UVA, and Brian is really close with Tony Bennett. So, what he does with his culture was pretty similar to the kind of team that we had too, on a much smaller scale, obviously, than basketball.
Brian is now at Baylor, and at some point it's inevitable that Baylor and Virginia will collide on the court. Do you talk with Brian and his family much?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with Brian and Becky, his wife. They're like a second family to me, and I can't wait till UVA plays Baylor. I don't care where I am. I'm going to fly in for that one. It's going to be an awesome match, and look forward to it. And I hope both teams are ready because it's going to be awesome.
I saw you at the Boar's Head last season for Virginia's match against Stanford in the NCAA tournament's round of 16. Does your schedule allow you to interact much with Andres and his staff and the current UVA team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here in Charlotte, so I'm not traveling. So, you know, I hit with the team every once in a while when I'm home. But, you know, I try to give them some space and let them, you know, have their own team chemistry. But I'm still really close with Carl Soderlund, who's a senior now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to support the team as much as possible, whether that's, you know, in person or, you know, doing whatever I can to help. And, yeah, I mean, I love being here in Charlottesville because I get to support all the teams, really. Like, I was able to go to a couple soccer games already this year, you know, football games. So that's, I mean, I'm just a big Wahoo guy.
You had opportunities. You could have skipped college entirely and pursued a pro career. Might not have been the right move for you in retrospect. Are you an advocate for college tennis in general? Obviously, there's some players who are ready to go pro or pursue pro careers early, but, you know, in your experience, how would you kind of assess the value of college tennis?
I mean, I feel pretty strongly in the U.S. that going to college for at least 1, 2, 3 years, it can't hurt you at all. It can only help you with your growth and physically, mentally, emotionally. I think there are very few juniors in the U.S. that are ready just to turn pro. I mean, in other countries, the mentality and the culture is a little different, and I think it's easier for them to turn pro. But in the U.S., I just see very few juniors that are all three of those mentally, physically, and emotionally ready to go pro at 17 years old. And now the average age of a top 100 player in the world is like 27 and a half or something like that, which is wild, you know, to be in your peak, I guess, at 27. So I think that's something that those juniors need to keep in mind. And, you know, college tennis is unbelievably fun too. So you're missing out on a ton of fun.
I mean, you get that team culture that you don't necessarily get in the sport otherwise, right?
Yeah. I mean, one thing that is lacking in tennis and the professional ranks is the number of team competitions, and that's starting to change because people are starting to see the value in it. But, you know, college tennis is so fun because of that team aspect. It's not just you. It gives you something more to play for. It's easier to get fired up every match to, you know, because you're playing for something that's not as bigger than yourself. I mean, sometimes, you know, you wake up and you're just, you know, tough today. But, you know, when you know that you have to go do it for your team, it's a lot easier to lace them up.
Your concentration in the comm school was information technology. Do you see yourself moving into that field at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that I'm able to play professional tennis for 10 more years until I'm, you know, 35 years old and, you know, have a full career. But I definitely see myself doing something like that. I'm, you know, whether it's in the tech world or in the finance world,
is there a way to marry tennis and information technology and kind of do them both?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I mean, there's, you know, analytics in tennis being used a little bit more every day, whether that's, you know, with strategy or things like that, or marketing, trying to get more fans into the game or figure out ways to make tennis more interesting. There's definitely always going to be ways to, you know, put those two together and, you know, I'm not looking into that right now, but I'm sure if I wanted to, I could find something that would, you know, really, really be interesting for me.
Both of your parents graduated from UVA. Was it somewhat inevitable that you'd end up Oahu too?
I mean, I've been watching basketball since the time, any time I can remember. I mean, I remember growing up and watching Sean Singletary beat Duke at home and yelling at the TV, and those were just really awesome times. So, yeah, I mean, I always wanted to go to UVA. There's a picture of me on the lawn at my uncle's graduation when I was, like, maybe 1 or 2 years old. So, yeah, this is a special place for me and my family, and, yeah, it's I guess it was a, if I was going to go to college, it was always going to be this place. It was just lucky that we had such a good tennis team as well.
Where were you, where did you watch the NCAA basketball final in April?
I watched the semis in Minneapolis. I went there to when we played
Auburn,
and then the finals, I was back here.
Were you part of that scene on the corner?
Where I was watching it, we were about 3 blocks away. So as soon as we won, I did run with the with the people I was with onto the corner, some other alumni, to join in that that fun. But you know, that the time, the semis in Minneapolis, I mean, that was one of the best nights of my life. The just that game, the emotion, the feeling in the arena was really amazing, and the after party after was pretty cool too.
Yeah. You're going back. You're only here for a couple more days or maybe one more day. What's your competitive schedule coming up soon?
Yeah, I got a tournament outside of Sacramento next week, another challenger. Then we have in a couple weeks the challenger here in Charlottesville, which is nice to get to stay at home, play at home at the Boar's Head. And then there's one more tournament for me in Houston. Big challenge at the end of the year. So after those three, it's a well needed off season, some time off, rest the end of November, and then December we start our preseason training to get ready for Australian Open, which starts really early in January. I think it's like the second week or something like that.
Well, good. Well, good luck with everything the rest of this season. Congrats on your ranking, and I look forward to seeing you continue to climb. And
thanks for having me, Jeff. Appreciate everything you do.
UVA football is off this weekend, but there's field hockey and men's soccer in Charlottesville, and several other of our teams will compete on the road. For schedules and information on everything going on with UVA athletics, visit virginiasports.com and follow us on Twitter at Virginia Sports. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos.